start a new series called Not a Fan, and hopefully it'll take us to the Christmas season, which, you know, that's just like 6 weeks away, right? But we're going to start a new series called Not a Fan, and it's based on a book that a pastor wrote. His name's Kyle. What was his first name? Or his last name. Idleman, I think it is. But anyway, Kyle wrote this book, Not a Fan, and so we're going to kind of work through that. But he addresses different stories that Jesus experiences that Jesus had with his disciples. And the first one this morning I want to talk to you about is in John 6. So my question this morning to get us started is, why do we like Jesus? And think about that for a minute. Why do we like Jesus? If he lived today, would you be his fan on Facebook? Would you work for him? Would you hire him to be your pastor? Would you listen to him as your pastor? Would you vote for him as president? No, you're not going to answer? All right. Well, the question that I want to ask is, why do we like Jesus? Facebook, and forgive me to use Facebook a few times today, but Facebook has 845 million users today. So there's a lot of people who are on there, and they typically they have fan pages, and so they will click on "I like this person." Okay, even if they're not even alive anymore, there are fan pages. Okay, Beatles. There are fan pages for the Beatles. Do you, anybody guess? Just guess. Who's the top? Who has the most likes today on Facebook? Justin Bieber. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. You know, if I could, I'd like him too. But Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. She just got bumped out, I think, recently. Yeah. Elvis. No, Elvis is actually not that high. I was surprised. And this is actually a surprise, and it's not really something that you need to write home about. We're all created in God's image, and yes, this person is created in God's image, and we need to pray for him. But actually, Eminem has the most fans on Facebook. Not the little candy. The angry. He's got some anger issues. He's a rapper, singer. Got 61,578,590,000 fans. Okay, I'm not saying that I have everything accurate, but the next one that I found was Michael Jackson. Okay, he had 52,193,114 fans. The Beatles. Who's a Beatles fan? All right. 29,426,478. Now, I saw some fans over here, and you guys are Steeler fans, right? And I really appreciate you wearing your Steeler outfits. But I actually, before the service, I actually looked it up. The Steelers have 4,753,752 fans. And let's see, does that beat the Packers? Yes, it does. It does. Packers, I'm sorry, 3 million. 341,293. Seahawks, 764,000. Not even in the millions. The Ducks, okay? Ducks and Beavers. All right, you guys, who do you think won? The Ducks won with 297,607. Beavers are 143,398. So, that's true. We won't get into that. But as I was looking at this, and I realized, I don't know if you remember, the Beatles, a long time ago in 1960s, John Lennon accidentally had a Freudian slip. He said something that stirred up a lot of controversy, not in England, where he's from, but in America, in the United States. And this happened 6 months later after he said it. But he said that Jesus, that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. And he said it in just kind of a, supposedly he backtracked and tried to fix it, but he said that he just said that he was saying the generation today, in 1966, that they love rock or rock and roll, the Beatles, more than Jesus. And he was not saying it as a disrespect necessarily. Of course, when the news got here, there were riots, not in riots as we think of, but there was paraphernalia that they took, the records and the Beatles stuff, and they destroyed it and all this. And so I was thinking about, there's actually a Jesus on Facebook, Jesus Christ, and he has fans. 5,491,699 Beatles, I think John Lennon was right, in Facebook terminology, that the Beatles have more fans than Jesus. So, are we fans of Jesus? Do we like Jesus? And I'm seeing some people saying, yes, we are fans of Jesus. Jesus was the second most popular person in America last year, just behind Abraham Lincoln. Recent public policy polling survey found this. 91% of Americans viewed Lincoln favorably, and Jesus weighs in at 90%. The national survey was taken to see if anyone in history could beat the level of popularity of the Green Bay Packers. Where did Katrina go? The quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who gained a record high of 89% favorability in a survey last month in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's a little slanted. But then it says that specific people in history, as well as those living today, the poll also asked people how favorable they view themselves. So it's kind of interesting. 93% of respondents gave themselves a positive rating. We like ourselves. So Americans have a very high opinion of themselves, says Dean Debnan, president of PPP. In a statement, you can argue that we are psychologically healthy nation, or you can argue that we are one arrogant nation. And so there's a couple other here. Martin Luther was at 74%. Lincoln or George Washington was 86%. Mother Teresa was at 83%, and Gandhi was a favorite at 64%. And I wanted to draw those out for you, not because, I've got statistics and now I can go share them with my family members or friends. But I wanted to draw out those statistics because I want you to see the difference this morning between what a fan looks like and what a follower of Jesus looks like. A fan is someone who is an enthusiastic admirer. And a follower is vastly different. And so Kyle Eidelman, who is, he doesn't say this in his book, but one of the number one, not number one, but one of the five biggest churches in the United States, 30,000 people. It's a big church. And he was there. He's explaining in the book. He says, I was sitting there the day before Easter with nothing to say and wanting to have creativity flow and wanting to know maybe I could just open the Bible and as I was when I was a kid and I would find something to say and knowing that Easter is when the Christers come, right? The people that come on Christmas and Easter twice a year, right? The Christers. Heard that? The fans. And so he struggled with this, and he realized that he didn't have anything to say that was appealing. And he found this passage, and he shares many of them, but he wanted to be appealing. He wanted people to come back. He wanted to get their attention. He wanted something really to wow them. He wanted to be a big hit, and he wanted people to be talking about it. Now, I got to be honest with you. That's something that I would like people to do, too, sometimes. I struggle with the fact that I have to share something every Sunday morning, and I don't want people to just walk away and it not make sense. I don't want people to walk away and it not impact. And yet that is exactly what he's faced with. And so he confessed to the Lord that he wanted to please, or he wanted to make something comfortable or safe, that he was preaching the gospel that was safe. Now, Jesus didn't preach safe stuff. He didn't. If you can find something that he said that was comfortable and safe, let me know. Because I don't think there's anything that he said that is very comfortable in our perspective. And so I want you to hear Kyle's story for a moment before we look at John 6. So let's watch his story.
A fan is simply defined as an enthusiastic admirer. I would have to say that for most of my Christian life, I haven't been much more than a fan of Jesus. I was born into a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. You know, my dad was a preacher, and from the beginning, I was expected to love Jesus. I was expected to believe in Jesus. And that meant by the time I was 13, you know, I was expected to have the Baptist blow-dry haircut. The peer pressure that I experienced as a kid was to wear the Christian t-shirt. So I had God's Gym. I wore that one. This Blood's for You. Yeah, I had that one too. And from the beginning, I was a fan. I was a fan of Jesus. In fact, in my room, this is true, in my room, next to a poster of Michael Jordan, I had a picture of Jesus Christ. And that kind of captures it. I was a fan of Michael, and I was a fan of Jesus. I wanted to be like Jesus, but I wanted to be like Mike. And I thought that was enough. And what I've discovered over the years is that there are just a lot of Christians who are enthusiastic admirers of Jesus. They're fans. But then if you read through the Gospels, you discover that Jesus was never too interested in having fans. What he wanted was followers. He wasn't so concerned about the size of the crowd that was with him. He cared about the commitment of the people who were following him. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that doesn't often get quoted, and it comes from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's Jesus He says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, for a lot of people, that invitation to follow Jesus by denying yourself and taking up your cross, oftentimes that isn't included in the presentation of the gospel. And they got the John 3:16, but the Luke 9:23 somehow got left out. But here's what I've discovered, that for me and for others on this journey, that it's not enough just to be a fan. That until you completely surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and until you give Him every part of you, you'll never experience the real life, the true life that He wants you to have. And so, you're going to hear some different stories of people on this website who have gone from being a fan of Jesus, just an enthusiastic admirer, to being a follower of Jesus. And they have said, I'm ready to surrender, I'm ready to hold nothing back, and to give everything I have to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're a fan. Maybe you're someone, though, like me, who wanted to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it required sacrifice. You wanted to follow Jesus into heaven, but you didn't necessarily want to take a cross with you. But the only invitation that Jesus offered was an invitation to die to yourself and to find life in Him. When we move from being a fan, just an enthusiastic admirer, to being a follower of Jesus Christ, that's when we truly find the life that He wants us to have. My name is Kyle Eidelman, and I am not a fan.
Lord, we just pray that Your Word would penetrate into our hearts, that we would understand what You want to tell us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John 6 is the story of Jesus miraculously feeding the 5,000. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but there was more than one time that Jesus miraculously fed a multitude of people. You can find all the different stories in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But I wanted to show you John's, and if you want to turn to chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to look at that. They're hungry. The people are there with Jesus, and they only have a few loaves and fish, and Jesus multiplies it. There are 5,000 men and their families. So we can just imagine it's not just 5,000, but maybe 15,000. You know, there's a lot of people at this place, and this is what happens. Starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw signs He had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with His disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. Philip answered Him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So the various miracles and amazing things from this man they saw. He even fed them to their fill by multiplying the bread and the fish. And it's kind of like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? I mean, I like those. They're kind of fun because you can go and you can choose what you want, right? You can go get Italian or Mexican or breakfast. You can get fruit, pudding, ice cream. If you go to the Mongolian all-you-can-eat, right, you can actually get the salad bar and the food bar and everything like that, and then you can go get the stir-fry side. You can put the meat and the vegetables, and they fry it up for you. And then you come out really stuffed, right? An all-you-can-eat buffet. And this is what was going on. They got their fill. They were full. And they saw everything. And so Jesus feeds them, and then he leaves. And the people are looking around, asking each other, "Where did he go?" And they think to themselves, they talk to themselves, "We got to find him, we got to find him." And just when they find him, they are at their hunger point. It's been a night. They found him on the other side of the lake. And Jesus says this, verse 24. Let's skip down to 24. John 6:24. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus points out the true reason why they are trying to find Jesus. Because they are a fan. Because they want the benefits of what Jesus can give them. And so Jesus was more addressing the difference between a fan and a follower in verse 24 and 25. Then he says something that changes everything. In verse 35, if you jump down a few verses in John 6:35, he says this. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus offers himself. He is the one thing on the menu. What is sad, though, in his teaching, because of his teaching, it gets too hard for many to stay and follow. Most people, most of the people that are standing there are listening to this in verse 60. Chapter 6, verse 60, it says, On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" John 6:66. Interesting. Man's number. They turn away from Jesus. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Most likely, those who walked away were no more than a fan of Jesus, because it was too hard to walk. It was too hard to follow. What Jesus was asking was too difficult. So like a sports fan or a fan of a celebrity, they might have been, you know, even those roadies that follow their teams across state or across the country, right? They were in for the benefits. But when the going gets tough and the benefits are not there, what they thought was they would just walk away. Now imagine you're in a coffee shop, you're getting your favorite coffee drink, and you're sitting down and Jesus shows up. And he sits down next to you or in front of you or whatever, and he asks the question. The DTR question. You don't, anybody know what DTR means? In junior high, the girl asked the guy, what's the DTR? Determine the relationship. And guys, of course, are like, run away, run away. I don't want to determine the relationship. I just want to hang out. You know, I just want to kiss or whatever. Right? Determine the relationship. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's sitting down with you in a coffee shop and he's saying, this is it. Determine this relationship. What is this relationship? Are you going to be a fan? Woohoo! Are you going to follow me? Are you going to be a fan? Or are you going to follow me? He asked the question, where do you see this relationship going? How do you feel about him? Is this just an exclusive relationship? How is it defined? The definition of fan, again, is an enthusiastic admirer. You know, the fans that they rip their shirt off and they paint their chest and they're like, aah! Right? Those fans. They never are in the game. They don't get the hard hits on the field, right? They don't sweat. Maybe they do. But they don't sweat because they're working hard on the field. They know the stats. They know the players. But they don't know the players. They don't know who they really are. This fan might yell and might cheer, but nothing is really required of him. There's no sacrifice. He is a fan until the team lets him down. You know, Jesus has a lot of fans today. Until they think that he lets them down. In Jesus' teachings, what he says is he's saying he doesn't want enthusiastic admirers. He wants followers. Luke 9:23, we looked at earlier. And this is what happened. This is Jesus saying to the disciples and to all the people that were standing there, this is what it comes down to. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is hard for us to do. I mean, this is sacrifice. That means that God has to actually come in and change me. And I have to allow that. And you think about him being the bread of life. Well, that's kind of odd. You know, we're supposed to eat bread and drink the cup, and that's Jesus. But really, if you think about that analogy, is we are supposed to consume Jesus. And Jesus is supposed to consume us. That's what Jesus was talking about. And so that's what he's talking about, I think, when he says that we need to deny ourselves and follow him. We're supposed to just let it go and let him come in and be a part of who he wants us to be. Fans easily can mistake their admiration for devotion. You know, we mistake our knowledge of Jesus sometimes for intimacy with Jesus. Oh yeah, I know about Jesus. He's a good guy, and I know all these Bible verses about Jesus, but I don't know if I really know him. Fans assume good intentions make up for their apathetic faith. So the most important question that you can ask in this life, the most important question that you are here to ask and to answer is, are you a follower of Christ? Are you a follower, or are you just a fan? Jesus is not asking, do you go to church? He's not asking, are your parents or grandparents Christians? He's not asking, did you raise your hand at the end of a sermon one time? Or did you repeat a prayer after a preacher? Or do you have own three Bibles? Have you? He's not asking, have you ever appeared in church directory? Or did you grow up going to VBS? He's not asking, is your ringtone a worship song? Or does your Facebook say, Christ follower? He's not asking, did you get purpose in 40 days or less? Or do you say, bless your heart before speaking badly about someone? Many of us are quick to say yes to the question, am I a follower of Christ? It's redundant. I've heard it before. You know, sure. But I want you to think about this as we start this series. Think about that story where Jesus fed the 5,000 and they followed him to the other side of the lake and he didn't give them food. What did he give them? He gave them himself. Which, what does it say? It says that we will never go hungry or thirsty. He can give the loaf of bread, but tomorrow morning, they'll be hungry again. So one of the most sobering passages in Matthew 7, Jesus tells of a day when everyone who has ever lived stand before God. And on that day, many will call themselves Christians. And yet God never knew them. Many people will say, yeah, I was a follower of Christ. And yet they were probably just fans. And Jesus never said that following him would be appealing, comfortable, or convenient. When you cross over from a fan to a follower, you realize that Jesus is not just hanging up a cool picture on the wall of your heart, of your soul. Or he's not just hanging up curtains on the window. He wants to do a full, complete renovation of your heart, of your life. He wants to change you. He wants to change me. And so that is denying yourself and following him. Jesus was not focused on the numbers of people that were waiting for the benefits, but he cared more about the level of commitment. And we'll talk a little more next week about commitment, the difference, what that looks like. And Luke 9:23 says, to die to self. Not my way, not my dreams, not my desires, not my fears, not me, but Jesus. He also told them that he is the bread of life, that you will never go thirsty. John 6:53-54, And I alluded to this already, but he says, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and I will raise them up on the last day. So we need to consume Jesus. We need him to consume us. We need to dwell with him. And how do we do that? We need to determine that we are followers and not fans. Fans are consumed with fame and themselves and glory. But to be a follower is to die to self and be more consumed with Jesus. So long, self. Like Mercy Me sings. So why do we like Jesus? Because of his benefits? Because of what he can do for us? Because of what we can get out of it? To be a follower is to give Jesus everything. Everything. We are on this earth to answer this one question. Am I going to be a follower? Or am I going to be a fan? And you have to determine that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word. It is not easy to swallow. And Lord, I confess that many times I have been a fan. That I have wanted the easy road. That I've not wanted to sacrifice myself on the altar. That I've not wanted to carry the cross. So Lord, I just pray that you would help us. Lord, this is a choice, and I pray that we would choose to follow Jesus. In your precious name, amen.